Welcome to the Modern Magic Podcast. I'm Marin, an astrologer, author, and cosmological thought leader. Here we're inquiring about the structure of reality, philosophizing about everything metaphysical, and grounding the woo. If you resonated with or are triggered by this episode, it would mean the universe to me if you rated and reviewed this on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Now, I invite you to tune out, drop in, and immerse yourself in the magic of this present listening moment. Satnam. Welcome to a special episode of the Modern Magic Podcast on the election, on the 2020 election. And I've been following political astrology for quite a while now, probably since 2018, which in hindsight isn't that long actually, but in, you know, my entire life, I have been following some of these trends and accumulating data and knowledge about the correlations that did seem to be striking in a political context. And in light of that, I decided to go ahead and make a political astrology forecast video for 2020. And there is a video version linked down below, which will show the charts and whatnot. But in the podcast audio version, it's still completely understandable and follow alongable for this. And I hope that this illuminates into some of the dynamics that might be difficult to see if we're getting our news source from like a specific slant, because I'm not, you know, providing any sort of political event detail necessarily, but rather just looking at the larger energetics of what's going on for all of the candidates. And yeah, I don't really have much to add because I get so much into this, but with me, I have two courses now that you can join. I have the Astrology Academy on a foundational level of diving into astrology, all-inclusive, like if it's a resort or something. I need a vacation. And I also have the Manifestation Mysteries of the Moon course, which is specifically looking at the moon with manifestation and self-care. And if either of those sound good, you can check those out linked down below, as well as some really, really cool things I have coming up soon. So stay tuned. In the meantime, let's get into the election. Take care. To make this video. If you follow me on other social media, you'll know that along with being an astrologer, I am also interested in politics. And even though this video is not going to be me expressing like views or hopes, though obviously as a 20-something very obvious leftist living in Manhattan who has not met a Republican since moving away from Texas at 18, you can probably guess where my thoughts lie. But it's not of use for me in this video to twist this into like what I would hope. I'm just looking at the straight data and then giving you my most reasonable interpretations of that which I see in the astrology. So this will be looking at the transits for both Biden and Trump, the long-term timing techniques for both Biden and Trump, along with looking at both Harris and Pence in some regards to come to, at the end, a final verdict. So stick around to hear how the progression builds up and my reasoning behind what I do claim. So we'll run through each individual part and then wrap it up with how I think this election will go down. So if you're excited to look at the 2020 astrology of Biden versus Trump, make sure that you like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so that you are always up to date with what the stars have in store for you. And before we get into this, quick advert for my very own Astrology Academy course. If you have been here a while and you are ready to take a deep dive into learning astrology, would love to have you join us. This course is a comprehensive deep dive into the foundations of Western astrology. This includes history, philosophy, technical concepts, counseling considerations, and a step-by-step guide to reading a chart. This is a semester-style course. It is worth a few months. It's drawn out with 8 key modules to get you started. I've been working on this course for so long, and I'm so excited to be delivering this product to you in a concise yet informative and immersive manner. Would love to have you join. And if you're interested in a more dipping your toe into astrology, I do have a free 1-hour webinar that you can join on actually learning astrology, the steps that you can take here and now to start understanding little by little this language. Would love to have you join that webinar. Link will be down below. So hi, I'm Marin. I am a professional astrologer, author, and current philosophy grad student. I combine traditional Hellenistic astrological techniques with modern psychological counseling dynamics in order to provide grounded guidance. And actually, overall, I'm more interested in mundane or political or world event astrology than I am natal astrology. So this kind of work that I'm doing and showing you here is a lot of what I do on a more like free time day-to-day basis. That now that I'm not really seeing clients and I'm busier with other things, this is what I'm really into doing is looking at larger scale, more world event political climates. So first, we're going to look at Biden's transits and his longer term timing. We're going to look at Trump's transits and then his longer term timing. Then we're going to compare the two of them. We'll look at some supplementary charts like Harris and Pence, and then the U.S. chart as well to see what's happening on a context level. As we go, I will explain the transits bit by bit on how I see them symbolically manifesting, how it makes sense for Biden and Trump, then come to some conclusions, and then, you know, I recommend that you grab a snack, you grab some tea, you take a seat. This is going to be lengthy, a little feature film. So if you actually do have any other events or political structures or countries, elections, anything like that that's more like foreign affairs matters that you do want addressed in astrology, comment down below, because that's the kind of astrology I actually am more into bringing into this channel. I'm considering moving this channel more towards like how I'm actually spending my time with the astrology that I practice, which is a little less gimmicky and a little more in-depth. So let me know down below if you want any of that. So first off, we're going to be looking at Biden's transits, what the transits are in comparison to his natal chart. So Biden has this big pile up in Capricorn right now, opposing his Jupiter in his natal 8th house. And Jupiter is exalted in Cancer in his chart. It's ruling his first house of self. However, this difficult pileup of planets in Capricorn is opposing it, and it's challenging him to a certain level of responsibility in his identity. That this is a big make it or break it moment. It's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. And this are you going to step up to the plate or crumble type of energy. That makes a lot of sense. You know, he's the Democratic nominee. It's been a very pressurized, very tumultuous year of him stepping up to the plate. So this makes total sense with the Capricorn Mafia opposing the ruler of his first house of self. It's a massive contraction of a grave reality, and it's not something entirely new. And I do want to add that we're looking at the transits for the exact date of the election. So we're looking at the November 3rd transits here. That's how I'm looking at all of this. But this is very present throughout the election. This is present throughout 2020, and this is not an indication of anything new coming his way, but rather responsibility compiling into something that he's stepping up into. He's had, you know, a lifelong buildup into a run for president. It's been a focus of him for decades, and this is a long-haul grinding transit, so it makes sense that right now is when the peak of the responsibility is hitting him. This is not something new or sudden. This is something that's been building up since early 2020, so it echoes the past because this is a transit that has been building up for, like, literally, like, centuries. Basically, that everyone in their chart who has this prominently is going to be looking in the past and what's led them to this. But right around the peak of this transit in the beginning of 2020 was when he stepped up to be the presumptive nominee. So this is making a lot of sense for there's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. And Uranus in the sky recently crossed his 5th house Taurus moon and is approaching in opposition to his 12th house Scorpio stellium. Uranus is the planet of liberation and breakthrough and shock, and I don't think that this in and of itself is a transit that speaks much to the election, but it definitely does indicate a build-up to liberation of mental challenges. That if he's elected, I do foresee a lot of urging him to move even further left, not just because that's what we, you know, would presume based on, like, Bernie voters and a lot of the party as it moves left, but literally this transit is indicating a shock value or a pressure to liberate and move further radical. That's what Uranus is. It's its Promethean radical force, and I'm all for radical. I'm all for challenging the status quo, and I see that, you know, moving. That even if he's not elected or whether he is, there's movement here to become further polarized in that way. Like, because he's not right now. He's fucking moderate. He has Neptune crossing his IC. He has the planet of confusion and delusion crossing his home and family indicator. So along the same lines right now, not related to the election, but he is going through some confusion or even some spiritual experiences around family or home. And something that is actually more relevant is he has the south node of the moon crossing his first house from 2020 into 2021. And the south node is not a planet, but it is an indicator of massive decrease. And in the first house of self, this is a letting go of a past version of self. It can also indicate a sort of spiritual awakening or lessening of the ego. And in several past presidential campaigns, having eclipses in the first and seventh house of one of the candidates did coincide with a win. And this is more complicated because both Trump and Biden are having nodal activations, but Trump is not having them in his first house, seventh house, like he was in 2016. He's having them in a different way that we'll get into. And this in and of itself is not, you know, indicating a win. This is not that, but it is a very much a fast track on you as the spotlight of something in your life right now. And of course, that would make sense whether or not he's elected, but I have seen this, you know, in Obama's chart, several other charts, and it is a powerful indicator, especially around letting go of a past sense of self and stepping up into what's now needed. Overall, Biden's transits of the events happening are not overly dramatic. And it makes sense that in comparing him to Trump right now, he is not exactly the dramatic figure. Like, we see him more holding down, speaking, he's not Trump tweeting in that way, that it's comparably makes sense that he's not the one undergoing the dramatic events right now. These transits are more lengthy responsibility-wise and more grinding, so it makes sense, basically. So now looking at Biden's zodiacal releasing, and zodiacal releasing is a technique that takes the life and divides it up into a book, as if it were chapters and subsections and subheadings. We're really seeing the overall lifeline, life timeline, and the way that it's divided up incrementally. And the transits are more day-to-day descriptors of certain events. The timing techniques like zodiacal releasing are really that bird's eye view of how the transits fall into play. And let me know if you do want a full video explaining different types of timing techniques compared to transits. I'm really into timing techniques. It's what I tend to specialize in. And he has been in a period of completion since about 2005, that something is drawing to a close that began around 2005. And in the context of this election, in this part of his life, this election seems to be the completion of his career. And whether or not he wins, this further makes sense. I mean, he said that he is probably a transitional one-term candidate anyway, serving 4 years and then moving on, but he is in a level one completion period that would be tying to a close, and he's in a level two, as you can see, positive period, that he's in an overall completion and then a level two positive, and it's activating his exalted Jupiter in Cancer for this time period. He then enters a period of slightly more busyness, of a minor peak in 2021, which would make sense with a presidency, that obviously it would be positive for him to first get elected, and then he would have slightly more busyness, because he's already a politician. Like, he's already used to the amount of busyness. That's what a peak is. It's busier. And I mean, 2023 is a bit confusing, because he has a loosening of the bond, and a loosening of the bond indicates a stark transition. It is activating his fourth house of home and family, so I would be more interested in seeing something around his home or living situation that is more sudden, but I'm curious what the kind of fork in the road break that I'm seeing in 2023 is. That Trump also had something like this when he was elected, and it didn't indicate necessarily a radical 180, but rather there were some things energetically with his identity that did shift. He became, you know, the face of the Republican Party. And 2025 would hypothetically be after his first term literally drawing to a close the political chapter of his life, as we can see in these periods. So his zodiacal releasing makes a whole goddamn lot of sense for a presidential election. It isn't so clear, as we will see with looking at Trump and whatnot, that it's not, you know, this alone is not base what I'm basing my decision on, but his transits are less dramatic. That would make sense based on his identity, that he is not, you know, called inciting anything. His zodiacal releasing is a little more substantial, or a lot more substantial, that he is jumping into the end of a completion period of his entire career of positive and then a peak. So that makes a little bit of sense there. Let's get into Kamala Harris's chart before we do look at Trump. And yes, I'm calling her Harris. I'm not calling her Kamala. There's been, I think that there's been a underhandedly inadvertent sexist tone to calling Kamala Kamala, but then calling Biden and Trump Biden and Trump. That either call them all by their last name or all by their first name, not the female candidate by her first name and then the males by their last names. Come on, it's Harris, Biden, and Trump, or Kamala, Joe, and Donald. Okay, so that's out of the way before. Some people are probably like, why are you calling her Kamala? Well, I'm calling her Harris, so it's consistent and I take her seriously. So with Kamala Harris's chart, we have her nodal return and her north node crossing her first house. And a nodal return is a transit of, I say fated, I think the word is used a lot, but events that are the pinnacle of what you're known for. That they are events that tone your entire life, that they are memorable chapters of I did that. And the north node is an indicator of massive increase. So with the north node crossing her first house at the same time as her natal nodal return, this is huge personal acceleration. And I think that this goes beyond a run for president, that this is really profound in terms of her context. She has the Capricorn pileup currently squaring both her Libra sun and her Aries moon, and this is to say that she is in the line of fire is an understatement, that her personal chart is incredibly activated right now in a really, really extreme, profound way. The Mars retrograde of this fall is right around the election and right over her moon. So she is so, so activated around the election. Naturally, you know, that makes sense. It's her first presidential election she's a part of, but the next 3 years as well are her Saturn return in Aquarius. Saturn is returning to the natal position that it was in her birth chart. And it's in her ninth house of higher knowledge and institutions, and that often does deal with things like politics. The Saturn return is a time of stepping up into responsibility and dealing with the consequences of what has been done, and that's a fuck ton of responsibility on her shoulders for the next 3 years. With the North Node of fast acceleration into recognition also going on, that's really notable. With Harris's zodiacal releasing, when I first pulled this up, when she was the Democratic, part of the Democratic nominee race, I was still kind of shocked. And I didn't make sense that she would become the nominee based on like her dropping out, and now with her being the VP, this makes sense. She has been in a near 30-year preparation period. Her career in politics has literally been building up over the past 30 years. She had a minor peak of activity in 2019, coinciding with that run. She is then in the 6 months of a final period in her overall preparatory period. From June 2020 to December 2020, she is in the last 6 months of a 30-year preparation period before entering a peak period of the 2030s. It's activating her Pisces 10th house of career as a major peak of the next period in her life. Like, oh my God, guys. This combined with her transits, either she's becoming vice president or she's taking over the entire world. This is so clearly notable. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if she ran, or at least did very well in 2024 onward. I would not be surprised if she, into the 2030s, builds up her political repertoire even more, possibly running for president. This is astonishing to say the least. So that is the Democratic ticket for you. Now let's take a look at the Republican ticket, first at Trump's transits. So off the bat, Trump's transits of what's going on a day-to-day basis are more dramatic and more sudden. Biden's transits have a more obvious progression into responsibility. Trump has a lot of haywire shit going down. So it's also his exact nodal return that, like Harris, the nodes are returning to their natal position in Gemini and Sag for him. This is an immense propulsion of fate forward. This is not something alone that's going to indicate election. Like I said, that this is more, you know, identity moving forward, but it does equal highly prominent events of a cataclysmic scale erupting. Both Harris and Biden have this in their self axis. So Biden has the south node in his first house and the north node in his seventh house. Harris has the north node in her first house and the south node in her seventh house. That the Democratic ticket are both getting their first house, seventh house axis activated by the nodes. So this is not happening in Trump's self-related axis. It was in 2016 when he won. Now it's not directly as much about his identity. So I do see really extreme fated events for him in a more dramatic fashion than Harris or Biden. It's just more like dramatic and kind of reckless for him right now. He has the Capricorn pileup opposing his Saturn and Venus in his 12th house. This is actually extremely worrisome for his physical and mental health. This has been building up, and it's something that I'm shocked is not really spoken about. In fact, just today I saw a headline that in 2019 there was a time when Pence was ready to step in as president because of Trump's health. And what I'm more concerned about is actually Trump's physical health. That's definitely what I see more activated notably right now. He has the South Node on his natal South Node and Moon, which is a very unstable bodily period. The Moon is often the body. And these transits are just very dramatic. And as I've spoken about in lunar forecasts and collective forecasts coming up for this fall, there's a theme of uprising and rebellion and even undertones of anarchy for the rest of 2020. Messy is what I'm seeing for him around the election to a big degree. And I don't even see this as much as election or professional as much as I just do, whoa, you're going through some personal eruptions and possibly maybe, you know, disputing anything that happened. Now, looking at Trump's zodiacal releasing, his zodiacal releasing is less notable and especially around the election and makes less sense for a win. And I say that because, you know, he's in a completion period. Okay, they both are. They're, you know, older, end of their careers, whatever. Not end, but like, you know, drifting out. And he entered a major peak in 2016, and he literally won an election then, so we can see that that happened. And in 2017, he had a loosening of the bond, and I'm still curious as to what major transition he underwent. I think that there's health things behind the scenes, and maybe it was him just, you know, stepping up into being a politician and going further right, but I do feel like there was a big personal transition, or health transition, based on it being in a sixth house of illness. And sixth house can also be subordinates or employees, so it could be the fact that he went through appointing and firing so many cabinet members, but he's not in a particularly active sub period right now. And he does have a major peak in 2022, so he could still do big things like after presidency if he is just a one-term president, but it'll be his eighth house share of shared finances as the locus of this major peak. So I could see it being like a business breakthrough after politics, but his zodiacal releasing overall does not scream 2020 election victory like it obviously did in 2016. With what's happening in the transits and the zodiacal releasing, it looks like a shit show, but it doesn't look as much like election. And looking at Pence's transits now, we don't have a solid confirmed birth time for Pence, so I cannot look at his zodiacal releasing, and the rectification that gives him Scorpio rising was done by an astrologer, so I don't trust the rising sign or the houses. I've not confirmed that. I'm not validating the house placements. I'm only looking at the planets, so we can ignore his ascendant and the houses. We're just looking at planets here, and I can't perform zodiacal releasing as a result of not having an exact birth time. But the North Node is crossing his Sun and Mercury. So again, propulsion forward, same exact alignment as similar to Trump's. And I don't know the houses, so I can't make any clear claims, but there is big forefront, big like once in a lifetime energy here. Not surprising, that makes sense. Saturn will be opposing his Leo, Venus, and Mars for the next 3 years, which is very blockage oriented, and it's not red flaggy, but it's difficult. He was much more activated in the previous 3 years with the Capricorn pileup opposing his Moon in Cancer, assuming that his Moon is in Cancer because it could be earlier in Gemini, earlier in the zodiac, but it's his own Saturn in return, so we don't have any zodiacal releasing to really see how his life is unfolding, but it is a busy time for him that is not as crisis-ridden, responsibility-driven as the past 3 years. Now let's look at the U.S.'s Sibley chart, and I'm intentionally using the U.S. Sibley chart for the United States of July 4th, 1776, because doing research about all the different chart options that we could use for the U.S., this is one that I tend to use. It makes the most sense and works best for me when I'm doing certain timing techniques with the astrology that I practice. Most countries do have a few charts because a country doesn't have a clear and dry like birth like a human does. The Astrology Podcast has a great episode looking at the potential charts of the U.S., so I won't express why I use this one here, but if you would like to understand why, you can listen to that episode and maybe ask me later. But the Sun is, the South Node is transiting the U.S.'s first house, and the North Node is in the seventh house, and this is a decrease in self, emphasis of other. I think this makes sense to the current letting go of the face of the nation and growth into, like, the other party, where if we're losing the first house of self, then perhaps, you know, we're losing like, I don't ever know if the Republican Party will be able to emerge in the same way that it has, just due to literally, like, those people dying. Like, that sounds weird, but you know what I mean? That, like, young people are the vast majority, like, moving further and further left. And there's obviously some, like, people in rural states and red states that are red and young, but I think it's a letting go of some sort of semblance of the parties that we see and a growth into the Gemini, seventh house of the other party. In horary, first house, 10th house is often the incumbent, and seventh house, eighth house is likely the other person. So in horary, and pulling up the chart of the moment and looking at it, it's almost always first house, 10th house is, you know, the incumbent, 7th house, 8th house will be the other party. The first house ruler is fallen. It's Jupiter and Capricorn, not looking too hot for the first house of self. The 10th house ruler is Mercury transiting Libra, and it's enclosed by the rays of Mars and Saturn, which is terrible for the authority or the boss at hand. Absolutely terrible. But the 7th house ruler is also Mercury, so it's an inconclusive significator that both the incumbent and the challenger are going through it. Like, it's not looking cute for either in terms of the U.S. So on the day of the election specifically, the moon will be in the Gemini 7th house. And the moon is such a fleeting, impermanent indicator that I'm not taking that seriously, but it is notable that on election day it will be in the seventh house of the other and unharmed from the malefics. It also happens to be the eighth house ruler. So the U.S. chart is going through it right now. Let me know if you want a full video on the U.S. chart. It's going through it because it looks like very much a movement into the other party. Literally, the seventh house is the other party, and there's an emphasis on that. So my thoughts and predictions. Firstly, election day itself is a communication and election shit show. Mercury is enclosed by the malefics. It's in the U.S.'s chart in the 11th house of the public and the audience. So expect voting madness. It's retrograde too. Expect delays. I mean, I if I'm honest, and this is, like, you can see what I'm saying is not based on, like, me or anything like that, but I find it extremely difficult to predict anything but a Biden-Harris win. It doesn't look clean. It does not look definitively, you know, oof, out of the water, but it looks like the significators are clearly on their side for the outcome. Saying that is scary because I do see Trump activated, and I don't want to say this and have it be like, you know, they win the popular vote, but, like, you know, I see things coming for Trump. I do see chapters and peaks and growth after this, but I do not see the clear new chapters like I see for Biden and Harris. I do not see anything similar. And I see that stepping into final responsibility for Biden. That is kind of the nail in the coffin, along with Kamala Harris's zodiacal releasing is insane, along with her transits, that if Trump is reelected, I will be shocked and will literally probably take a few months to question my astrological techniques and what the fuck I saw that was not so clear. Again, it's not cut and dry. It's not like it's like, oh yay, and then ooh no, but with everything considered, I think it is more sensible to draw a Biden conclusion. We can definitely discuss the astrological symbolism in the comments if you are literate in astrology and want to discuss what conclusions you draw from these transits, because like I showed you, I explained the transits and then what they mean symbolically. But I'm just gonna say flat out as well that if I get a bunch of like Great Awakening QAnon comments, I'm just gonna remove them. Not because I don't subscribe to that, but because like that shit's just domestic terrorism. Like, don't comment that. But express your thoughts. Express your thoughts about what you see coming based on the astrology, and just know that like I don't see Trump as taking down the cabal. You're not gonna get my sympathy if you go that route with the comments. But we can discuss the astrology. And if you do enjoy this kind of thing, feel free to check out the Astrology Academy and my webinars down below if you want to learn this with me. For this fall would be exciting. Otherwise, make sure that you like, subscribe, do all the things, and comment down below. Thoughts. Sending love. See you in the next one. If you have any thoughts, any astrology that you see coming up that you would like to share and get some insight on, always feel free to let me know as I do start to do more of what I actually want to. And a lot of that is, you know, looking at these types of analyses and making predictions and whatnot. So yeah, in the meantime, I have my courses, I have my usual offerings, and also if you send me a screenshot of a review that you leave on Apple Podcasts, I will send you my free Astro Basics workbook as usual. So email me that and I will be sending you the workbook if you have not done that already. It's been a crazy few weeks on my end with just, yeah, crazy things. And so excited for that to culminate, I guess, with this season. Yeah, Libra season's interesting this year. Not very harmonious or balanced. Anyway, sending all the love. I will see you in the next... I'm doing my video outro. Why am I doing that? I don't do that here on the podcast. I'll see you next week.